World Wide Web, 1360 WNAH, Nashville.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Hi, this is One of Messiah Congregation, Kahal Echad B'Mashiach. We are the congregation that comes to you with the Hebrew-Jewish perspective, with Jewish eyeglasses. And I just thank the Lord we could be here this afternoon. We are a congregation that we meet at the New Hope Church in Brentwood, Tennessee, New Hope Community Church, and that's at 605 Wilson Pike. And we're there every Saturday, the Shabbat. I know everyone out there loves the Sabbath, and we want you to show up on Saturday at 12 o'clock. But we'll get more into that in a few moments. My wife's here. You're smiling. I see you want to say something.
Well, we just got a little riled up today. We were coming here to the radio station and listening to another station, and there was a fellow on there just speaking about kind of once saved, always saved. And
well, he was a doctor.
And make sure you don't get there by works. You're saved by grace, and don't do any works
after
that.
I'm so happy that we don't have to do anything anymore to show God that we don't have to do any works to show God we love him, you know? That's what he was saying.
I know, because if we keep the commandments, then we're just trying to get there by works,
Oh,
huh?
Man, you're trying to get there by works.
Now, doesn't that sound silly?
Sounds like a Gentile paganism. Sounds ridiculous to me. You know, we come from Jews and Gentiles, and we're all one of Messiah, but we don't come from a Gentile, Hellenistic way of looking at the Scriptures.
So if you can just keep on sinning, then why do you need to be saved in the first place?
Well, you got saved when you were a kid, right? That means you're always saved, no matter what you do. Doesn't that sound foolish?
Yes, it does.
That sounds silly. Sounds because like fairy tales.
Yeah, because at some point in your life, you have to realize that you are a sinner. You haven't been keeping the commandments. And then by grace you are saved. Yes, we agree totally.
Yeah, we're saved by grace, by faith. This is when we first met the Lord. But after we accept the Lord, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen. Walk as he walked.
Amen. You know, I just thank God we could be here this half hour. And we hope people have their ears open and we hope they have their hearts open. We pray God will answer the prayers of the people that need healing. Sister Mary in Minnesota, and we pray also for people in our congregation where their jobs are troubling them as far as, you know, keeping the Sabbath. It's so sad. The Sabbath is the fourth commandment and starts tonight at sundown. Now, we are One of Messiah Congregation. If you're out there today, and I know you're listening, we're at 256-1360, if you want to talk to us, at 615 if you're not in the near vicinity. We'd love to hear from you. You know, I don't know if a lot of people in this radio broadcast vicinity knows this, but last night was Rosh Chodesh. And you might say, what is that? Well, Rosh Chodesh in Hebrew means new moon. It's the new moon. And that means the little sliver. And that's on the right side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do not worship the moon, but we acknowledge it because that tells us when a new month of God is. Now, even though we're in the 12th month of Pope Gregory's calendar, which is called December, which is not in the Scriptures, and there's no Pope Gregory in the Scriptures either, but we're in what we look at is the Bible, and we're in the 10th month of God called Tevet. And to prove that, you'll always say to me, where does it say that in the Word? So what you do, you go to the Book of Esther, Hadassah. You go to 216, and it says right there, it says the 10th month, which is Tevet. Amen?
Amen. And a lot of people maybe don't understand that when they see a month in the Bible, it's not pertaining to the month that they live by, the Gregorian calendar. God has his own months, and it's not like our month today.
Right.
And it doesn't even coincide with the Gregorian calendar. In other words, if Jesus was born, which he was not, on December 25th, if it was on God's calendar, it would never fall on the same day in the Gregorian calendar,
right,
every month.
Right, because the 12th month of God is Adar, which is Adar, which is like February.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind, that there's something a little goofy there.
Yeah, and if you don't know what we're talking about, please call anytime, 256-1360. We're right here live today, but you can always go to our website at oneofmessiah.net. oneinmessiah.net. You know, I was looking at some scriptures today. Because it is the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, and we're in the 10th month of God. You know, thousands of years ago, even though you're sitting in your house right now listening to the radio or driving in your car, believe it or not, thousands of years ago, We read some scriptures in Genesis where the little mountains, the tops of the mountains were seen. Isn't that amazing? The flood. Remember the flood, Noah? That wasn't a fairy tale. And also, many years later, we read also Nebuchadnezzar right now is breaking down the walls of Jerusalem. I mean, I know this is hard to picture these amazing adventures. You know, while we're sitting here in Arzot HaBrit, America, and everyone's so comfortable, and everyone's just, you know, living it up here, believe it or not, people in the Bible went through many, many things that maybe I hope we never have to go through. Being that it's the new moon, I just thought it would be appropriate to read Colossians chapter 2. This is such a chapter that most Protestants get all wrong. And we want to instruct you today, and we're going to read this correctly. The book of the Colossians, obviously, it's written somewhere in A.D. 60 or in that vicinity, 64. And this is there's a possibility this letter was written when Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And, of course, the Colossians are in Colossae, which is a province, you know, somewhere in Asia Minor, which is in the same neighborhood as Laodicea and Hierapolis, you know. So Asia Minor is right there. And that's what the Colossians are. So you have to put yourself in the mindset, who's writing the letter, to who, where they are, what's going on.
Exactly. And also keep in mind who the early believers were, you know, in the first century when Messiah was here and afterwards. They weren't Catholics. They weren't Protestants. What they were the Jewish people who kept the commandments of God, the feast days. The only book or scriptures they had to read was what you call the Old Testament books.
Yeah, we call it Tanakh.
Yeah, but the difference in them is that they found the Messiah in the scriptures. So that's what they lived by. And unfortunately, today, the churches of today aren't those same people. So put your eyeglasses on for those times, and we'll read this book.
Okay, Colossians chapter 2. If you have anything you'd like to call in about, remember, we're at 256-1360. 615-256-1360 if you have a question or a comment. Colossians 2. Apostle Paul says, For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Messiah, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We use the word Messiah for Christ, in case anyone is wondering. In whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, they're hid in him. And this I say, now this is a verse I want you to write down, make a note, verse 4. This I say, lest, the word lest means in fear that, any man should beguile you, that means deceive you, with enticing words. Paul says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Messiah. As you have therefore received the Messiah, Yeshua, the Lord, Adon, so walk you in him.
Yes. That's right. And walking in him, you know, even if, as you read in the beginning of this chapter, all riches of the fuller assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, the only way you could acknowledge that is by understanding the scriptures, meaning the Torah, the law, and the writings, which spoke of the Messiah to come.
Right, because.
And that mystery to come.
Exactly. The Colossians didn't have this letter at the moment. This was being written to them. Most of the churches didn't have that. They all read the Tanakh, which is an acronym for the Torah, the five books of Moses. We have the prophets, the Nevi'im, and we have the Kutuvim, which is the writings. And I know this is a lot of Jewish Hebrew words that you maybe never heard of. But remember, Yeshua, Jesus, is Jewish. The apostles are Jewish. The prophets are Jewish. And you better become a Jew if you want to be in the Israel of God. Getting back to the words here, verse 8, we're in Colossians chapter 2. Remember, we're trying to get you to call us, 256-1360. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Okay? After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after the Messiah. So this is very important. I want to make sure that we're in Colossae which is in Asia Minor, very close towards going towards Greece. There were so many philosophies there, and Paul is warning the men. He's warning the people at this church.
That's right, and many traditions of men, which if you look at even today, we follow, a lot of the churches follow the traditions of men, made up by men, but not of this word.
Exactly, just like what's going on right now in Pope Gregory's December. Everyone's doing this tradition of the Yule celebration. A lot of Wiccans are doing that and pagans, which is totally ridiculous and totally unscriptural. And then the Christians copied that, and many years later they introduced this thing called Christmas to America. But it really started with the Yule and the celebration and the pagans and the Wiccans, and comes from, you know, there's history on this. You can read the encyclopedias if you don't believe me, or you can look it up on the internet. With the advent of the internet, everyone should be able to look up that basically Santa Claus comes from pagan gods. There's gods that were just like him. And also Christmas is just the stepchild of the Yule celebration many, many years before that America even had it.
Remember that what the devil has always wanted to do is create counterfeits of what is really true in the Bible. And that's what's happened with Christmas and many other things, is there are counterfeits. Santa Claus is such a very evil thing, because if you look at who Santa is supposedly is, he is someone that can be at everybody's house all in one night. He knows if you've been naughty or nice. He's making a list and checking it twice. Well, that's
that
just
sounds
a
like a god, doesn't it?
Yes, he does. And that's what's really scary, and something that we need to think about as Christians is to get rid of those traditions that are really counterfeits for what is real in the Bible.
How many parents you think lied to their children that there's this guy with a red suit in the North Pole where it's really cold, and then he's going to come down the chimney, and they don't even have a chimney, most people.
It's millions, of course.
And anyway, let's get back to the Bible.
So much for the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world.
Yeah, okay. We're at 256-1360. Let's see if this is a comment for us. Is this a comment or a question for One of Messiah?
Oh, yes. Hi. This is Abigail from One of Messiah Congregation.
Wow. Praise the Lord, Abigail.
Hi. I just thought it was kind of amazing that, the last few verses, like, how people never read that. They only take, like, half a verse and make an entire religion out of that.
That's right.
How they can do that, and then Christmas comes out of that, and then Christmas is... How does Christmas get in there? It just doesn't make any sense.
How old are you, Abigail?
I'm 12 and a half.
And you even understand that Christmas is make-believe, huh?
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, God bless you, and shalom to you.
Thank you, and praise the Lord.
You're welcome. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. There's a little girl, even she, I'm sure her and her parents looked up this holiday. You know, it's not that, you don't have to be a genius to do this. All you have to do is go have some desire for the truth and a love for the truth.
Amen, because there are real feasts of the Lord that are all about the Messiah that most people are missing, and they're so very, very important. And if you ever want to know about them, please call us. We'll send you a free DVD on the Feasts of the Lord. We want you to know about them. They're important.
Most people turned the Feast of the Lord into the Feast of the Jews. It doesn't say that. It says the Feast of the Lord. They're for you.
Amen.
Let's see. I thought the phone was ringing. Okay.
Verse 9.
Okay, we're in verse 9 of Colossians. If you do want to talk to us, don't be afraid. We're at 256-1360. 256-1360. And we're talking about, we don't want you to be beguiled, and want you to beware of philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Is this a comment or a question for One of Messiah Congregation?
Yes, it is.
And who might this be?
This is Lisa.
Oh, praise the Lord. How are you?
Praise the Lord. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. You have a question or comment?
Just something to say. Yes, you were talking about these traditions and everything, and I wanted to say that when we were first saved, my very first Christmas following when we were saved, I always liked to study, and I liked to spend time every day with the Lord. It made a big difference, but I found when I was trying to keep Christmas, I had to spend so much time planning menus and shopping and everything that I remember praying and lamenting to God that I didn't have time for Him. And I'm like, how can I do this? You know, how something was wrong, and I sensed that conflict. And further, I started looking at how everybody kept it the same, the people that believed and the people that did not. And I thought, you know, something's really wrong here.
That's right.
And I praise God that when He does hear your prayer and He does know when your heart searches And I encourage everyone who understands what I've said today to really look at those scriptures and ask God to give them understanding that they can be set free from what is absolutely a lie.
Amen.
You won't regret it. And that's my comments.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I'm happy people out there are listening to this broadcast. Looks like I
another phone call.
Is this a question or a comment for One of Messiah?
Yes, it is. Hi, this is Ann.
Well, praise the Lord. How are you?
Doing good. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to respond to what you guys heard as you on your way into the station about works. And I think that I hear that quite a bit, and it's kind of disturbing in a way, because to think that you don't do anything at all just to build up your faith, like that's going to prove it. So, like, cutting out works doesn't prove that you have more or less faith or that you're now subject to Jesus' blood more. I mean, James says in chapter 2, verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Amen. That's right.
So we've cutting out James by saying that, but yeah. I just wanted to respond to that.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. Yeah, I mean, it's silly for people to think that, oh, don't try to get there by works. Well, let me tell everybody a little secret. The Bible says you're going to be judged according to your works. You better do something for the Messiah while you're here. Now, remember, when you first met the Lord, you're saved by faith through grace. But after you're saved, you show the Lord you love him by keeping his commandments and doing a work for God.
Because let's face it, if you're sinning on purpose after you're saved, you're not. Because you can fall away. That's a fact. You have to endure it till the end.
We're at 256-1360. It looks like all ladies are calling. Is there any men out there? There must be some men out there. Verse 9 says, for in him, the Messiah, dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in the Messiah, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah.
That's right. So when you're saved by the blood of the Messiah, you're supposed to put away all those sins. You're supposed to repent from those sins and not do them anymore.
Well, Yeshua, Jesus said, go and sin no more.
That's right.
Okay, so moving right along. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, here's where the churches get this all wrong. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Now, Carrie, if you're breaking the commandments, aren't the commandments and the judgments and what the retribution you're going to receive, isn't that against you?
Of course it is.
And aren't they contrary to you?
Of course.
People misconstrue this. They think the commandments are nailed to the cross. That's ridiculous. It's the judgments. It's the retribution. It's what you deserve. Christ, it says right here, he took that out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, and he triumphed over them in it.
Amen. That's right. Even in Romans chapter 3, it says, taking away sins that are past. In other words, and if you look at it, people forget what a semicolon means. A semicolon means, it says, having forgiven you all trespasses, semicolon. And that's basically the next sentence is saying the same thing, but more in detail. So he's blotting out the ordinances that were against us. In other words, he's blotting out. He says he will remember our sins no more.
Yeah, he's blotting out your penalties.
And
we don't have to die. He took our place.
That's right.
Well, we're One of Messiah Congregation. Remember, go to our website anytime. That's one, O-N-E-I-N, Messiah, M-E-S-S-I-A-H.net. You can call us anytime after the broadcast, 591-9820. That's also 615. 591-9820 if you have any questions or anything. And you can also join us for the Shabbat, the Sabbath of the Lord, the fourth commandment of God that the Catholic Church admits that they got, you know, from Constantine and then the Catholic Church, they erased the fourth commandment. Let's see if this is a comment for us. Is this a question or a comment?
Just a comment.
And who is this?
This is Al from Pennsylvania.
Al.
Wow, praise the Lord.
I just wanted to say, I listen and to your internet program that you have on, and I really get a lot from it. Also, that big question is, when from the churches, a lot of people think that the God of the New Testament is different than the God of the Old. What do you say?
Good point.
That is totally fictitious. There's one God, Echad. There's one God, right?
Yep.
Jesus said, "I beheld Satan cast as lightning." You know, he was there.
This is a tremendous misconception of the Protestant churches, which are just basically from the Catholic Church. And I thank you for calling all the way from Pennsylvania. This is wonderful.
Oh, no problem.
Well, God bless you.
God bless.
Keep listening.
Bye-bye.
Amen. And very good point. There is no new God in town. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's
Amen.
No variableness with him. He's the same.
I'm really happy a man called up. I'm starting to wonder if only the ladies out there are listening. I know the men must love the Lord. Going back to Colossians chapter 2. Now, you remember, we're still at 256-1360, live at the studio if you want to talk to us. It says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat." That's right, because Apostle Paul already instructed the people through the Word of God what they're supposed to eat. "Let no one judge you in drink." The Bible tells you what to eat and drink. "Let no one judge you in respect of a holy day." Now, most churches don't even know what the holy days are of the Lord. They're found in Leviticus 23 and many other places in the Bible. They're the feasts of the Lord. These are not talking about, these pagan ones that Pope Gregory got everyone doing. He says, and the reason why we're reading this today, another reason, is it says, "Let no man judge you in respect of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." You know why? Because they're a shadow of things to come. That is future tense. This is after the Messiah rose from the dead. Apostle Paul is writing from jail to these people there in Colossae, and he's telling them, don't let anyone judge you pertaining to these things, because they're a shadow of things to come, and every body has a shadow. It says, and the body is of who?
Of the
Messiah.
Messiah.
Yes. So don't let anyone judge you about keeping the Sabbath. It's a commandment. Don't let anyone judge you about acknowledging the new moon. That tells you a month of God. How would you keep the feast of the Lord if you didn't know what month it was?
That's right, but the problem here is that a lot of the churches teach that no man is someone in the church. Don't let your brother tell you how you're supposed to keep those things. Well,
don't judge me, brother.
That's not true.
That's just ridiculous.
It's someone outside the church. It's like if somebody in my family would tell me not to keep the Sabbath when I know it is the Sabbath. But you know what's interesting here, Angela, when you were talking about these things? Every one of these things, the devil has put a counterfeit in the churches for.
That's right. Amen.
They no longer eat what God told them to eat because they say, oh, that's in the Old Testament. Everybody drinks. It says no drunkard's going to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Well, there's one God. There's not a new God in town. There's
that's
one
right.
God.
That's right. It says Elisa Steve in the church can judge any matter. Now look at the holy days. We spoke about God's feast days. There's all these counterfeits that, like Christmas and Easter. Go ahead. Telephone.
Is this a comment for One of Messiah congregation?
Yes, it is. This is Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Shalom.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
You have a comment?
Yes, I wanted to comment on Colossians 2:16.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how, like, the Baptist and everybody says, just because of that one verse, you don't have to keep the Sabbath or the feast or anything.
It's terrible.
But when the next few verses clearly say that's not the case, that you do, that is exactly what you need to do, but they just take the first part, which is like taking half of a sentence and not getting the complete meaning of it.
That's correct. And how old are you, Gabriel?
I'm 14.
And you understand this. This is wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Praise
Anything
the
else?
Lord.
No, that's all.
Well, thank you very much, and God bless you.
God bless you.
Well, listen to this. Children are calling, ladies, one man. Now, we are One of Messiah congregation. We meet every Saturday at 12 o'clock, and we're at 605 Wilson Pike, right at the New Hope Community Church. That's tomorrow at the New Hope Community Church, 605 Wilson Pike. Come with us and read with us on the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath of the Lord. Now, it's not a Jewish thing to keep the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath in Genesis, chapter 2, verse 2. There was no Jews and there was no Israel. It's a commandment, a mitzvah. And God incorporated it into his Ten Commandments in chapter 20 of Exodus. He says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now, after the broadcast, if you want to talk to us, we're at 615-591-9820. We are One of Messiah Congregation. We are come from a Jewish-Hebrew perspective that we're trying to help you churches out there. Maybe we can, some people start thinking of a few of these things.
Amen. Let's get away from the traditions of man and the rudiments of the world. Because before the phone call, I didn't get through this, but this is very important. We're talking about those counterfeits. Everything in this verse has a counterfeit in the churches now.
Amen.
Everything. There's a different Sabbath day than what God gave you. There's different feast days than what God gave you. The month starts at a different time than God told us. His year starts at a different time. His months are different. His holy days have been changed by the churches. But for God,
would you say we're living a lie?
I think we're living a lie.
How many people can recognize this?
I don't know, but it's pretty scary that he's taken everything out of this whole verse and made a counterfeit.
Well, it's very important. Verse 18 says, "Let no man beguile you, okay, of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." Don't do that.
Don't
intruding
do it
into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. A lot of churches talk about angels and all this kind of stuff. Hey, listen.
Praying to Mary.
We want you to hold the head, which is the Messiah, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, knit together, increasing with the increase of God. So if you want to learn from a Jewish-Hebrew perspective, and you want to learn the truth, the Bible says that in the last days that people will take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew and say, we're going to go with you, because God is with you. And we're not talking about Jews that don't know the Messiah, because they need to accept Yeshua as the Messiah. There's only through the blood of Jesus that you could be saved. You know, I just thank God that we're here today. We try to be here every Friday. And would you like to say something
else?
At
1:30. Yes, to what you were saying, to continue with who is the Israel of God. You need to speak to somebody who is the Israel of God. And what that means is someone who uses the whole Bible. God doesn't change. His commandments haven't changed. His judgments still exist. However, all judgment was given to the Son. But, you know, if you commit adultery and don't repent, the same judgment exists. It's called death, or you're going to go to hell. I mean, that's just the way it is. But God doesn't change, and we all need to understand that. And the Messiah came, but the Messiah coming did not take away 73% of the Bible.
No, it's 77%.
Sorry.
We don't erase 77% of the Bible
and
just read the Gospels and letters. That's ridiculous
because
everyone in the Gospels and letters were reading the whole Bible.
That's right.
Well, anyway, we are One of Messiah Congregation. Join us tomorrow at 12 o'clock at the New Hope Community Church. The Sabbath is tomorrow. Come and join us. It's only at 605 Wilson Pike right here in Brentwood, Tennessee. If you're in Brentwood, Tennessee, or Nashville, come and see us at 12 o'clock. Call us anytime after the broadcast. That's 591-9820, 591-9820. Please get on our website. That's oneinmessiah.net, oneinmessiah.net. Please get behind us with your prayers. Please, with your fastings, with your finances. Come and help us Jews. We're trying to get a building for God. If you love Israel and you love Jewish people, help us get a house of God in this place called Tennessee.
That's right. And if you're just seeking the truth, if you just really want to read the Word and understand the Word and seek the Lord and find out what is true and what is not true and go with what is true, that's what we're looking for. If you can look in your church and see, boy, there's something wrong here, and you see that, it's probably because they're not following the whole Bible. And when you see sin in your church that's rampant, you know there's a problem.
Well, thank God we could be here. Baruch Hashem Yeshua. Shalom in Messiah Yeshua, Jesus' name. Keep reading the Bible. Keep your eyes on the Messiah. He's coming soon. Do something for the Lord. I just praise the Lord we could be here. God bless you.
Broadcasting on the World Wide Web, 1360 WNAH, Nashville.